Welcome to Open House, a community media where we celebrate who we are and what we do as a community. We like to promote people who are doing an awesome job and wonderful and great things in the community. Today, we have Joshua Fitting from the Constable's Office in Tyrone Township. Welcome, Josh.
Thank you for having me.
Excellent. Tell me a little bit where you're from and how you got into your history of how you got into being a constable.
Sure. So I currently reside in Tyrone Township in Adams County. It's up towards the Cumberland County line. I'm elected out of that township. I am the only constable out there for Tyrone Township. I live out there with my family. We have a small animal rescue. We enjoy having our peace and serenity out there. How I got into this was I had a really good mentor, the York Springs Constable, Dan Hollenball. I was working for the federal government at the time and just trying to explore avenues back into law enforcement. Prior, I was a police officer down in Maryland, and I've been in the military for 16 years now. And I really started to get into the niche and really like what the constable's office stood for and what it actually does for the community, because we're kind of in this conception that constables only serve warrants. Yeah. So they'll always say, well, we're sort of like a unicorn. You never see us unless you've committed a crime. And while that may be true to an extent, we still provide a ton of other things that we do for our townships, boroughs, and municipalities, which is important for small towns and boroughs that are struggling, trying to find, you know, other avenues of how to fill those gaps. So we do things like, for instance, serve septic notices for townships. We do sewage enforcement. We do we help and assist with health and welfare inspections with zoning and codes. We are the only ones that still enforce livestock laws. So there's actually a couple laws on the book that still constitute livestock. And I will have you know that in my own township, I have had cows go at large. So and I've helped with that. And we actually can do state forestry laws. There's only about, I think, 10 or 12 on the books, but they're still there. They've never been the powers have never been taken away. We just typically don't do them as much.
Okay, excellent. So what is the history of the constable? You said it's the oldest
Yes,
law enforcement
Yes, it is the oldest law enforcement office that's still in operation.
When was it started?
It was started in, I think it was 16, let me verify that, 1664, when it was actually considered Penn's Woods at the time.
Yeah.
It wasn't until 1781 when the Pennsylvania became a commonwealth. So the constable, unfortunately, the first law enforcement officer ever killed was a constable, and dates back to like the Penn's Woods days. And you'll see the evolution of law enforcement has progressed, and the constable's office has progressed some. But it really came down to, in the early 1900s, there was the Pennsylvania coal mine riots. And Governor Pennypacker at the time had wanted the constable to go in and break up the coal mine riots. And they were protesting, when I say they, I'm talking about the employees of the coal factories, were protesting unfair labor condition and poor working environment. And the constable's office, I assume, went something like this: time out. We're not going to violate anybody's rights here, only because they're peacefully protesting. They're not being disruptive. While it disrupts financials, they're not disrupting or destroying things. So the constable's office understood that we're elected, and for us to keep our position within our counties and townships, that it's not in our best interest to go against what our peers are doing or what the elected people who elect us are doing. With that being said, then you see the formation of the Pennsylvania Coal Mine Riot Police, which is now also known as Pennsylvania State Police. Correct.
Hmm. So what is the difference between sheriff and a constable?
Exactly.
I'm trying to get that question a lot.
I do get that question a lot. And the sheriff is also elected out of the county level. So while I am elected at a township level and other constables are elected at borough level, he's elected at a county level. He controls the Court of Common Pleas, how their warrants operate, how their officers handle courtroom security. He has full jurisdiction over that county. And every sheriff's office does something a little different, where ours really focuses on the court aspects, which is important to the day-to-day operations in Adams County, where our jurisdiction, we work primarily out of the MDJ level, which is your magisterial district judge. There's four in Adams County, and our authorities go statewide as opposed to just countywide.
So you can operate, you could go to Erie,
I could go to, I've gone to Erie, unfortunately. Yeah. I have gone to Erie on some warrants, so we have the ability to go there, and our powers confer with us to those locations.
Okay. So you would work in conjunction with the sheriff, but you're not under, the constable's not under?
Correct. We're not under the sheriff. We work in conjunction with Adams County, which I can say for us and our association in Adams County, we have a great working relationship with our sheriff and his deputies.
Okay, cool. I just learned that there are, well, there's 34 municipalities in Adams County, so there's 34 different constables. So, Gettysburg having three, correct?
Correct. So there are 34 spots available. Okay, now some of those are occupied. There's some that are not. Oh, okay. We are always actively recruiting, looking for good fits to be constables. A majority of them, I think we're up to about, don't quote me on the 17 to the 20 number of constable spots that are filled. There's a couple municipalities that do not have one. And like I said, we're constantly always looking for somebody. One of the requirements for it is you must live in that borough township to be elected out of there.
Right. Okay. Right.
Sure.
Since you're an elected official, you can't
You can't live. You can't live here.
And jump.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right. So if you're out, you know any do who, which
I can get you.
Have them?
I can get you a list. Feel free to reach out to the Adams County Constable Association if you're interested. We can provide you that list. It's also the last I knew it was on Adams County's web page for the courts. It'll show you all the vacancies that are currently there. Or you could also reach out to the election office. They would be able to tell you if there's a vacant spot.
How long is your term?
So our terms are 6 years. So they're 6 year terms. It's a great opportunity for someone that's looking to get into law enforcement. And with the good mentoring, we can help you.
Excellent. I guess you can't be too short, because then you're just getting started and then you're out. So there's a lot to...
Exactly right.
If you weren't in law enforcement before...
Correct.
And do you have to have a background in law enforcement?
You don't. It's preferred, but there's no requirement.
Okay.
And if not, that shouldn't discourage you. What we're looking at doing with the organization is being able to mentor good upcoming constables to try to be able to provide that good service back to the community.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Tell me a little bit on your mission. And you mentioned about your mission being personable.
Yeah, it is.
How's that fit in?
It's important. So everyone, I shouldn't say everyone, let me back up. A lot of people are under this misconception that constables just serve warrants and they just work for the courts and, you know, they're the tax collector with a badge and a gun. And that's not the case. We recognize that everybody goes through challenges in life, and every chapter in life is different, just like yours is different than mine. A lot of the people that we come encounter with are just trying to go from that chapter to the next, and they're stuck, and they need help, and they need somebody to understand what they're going through. And unfortunately, we sometimes see people more than we would like because they're in that rut. And as a good constable, like myself and the constables that I work with, we can recognize that and see that they're in this sort of predicament where they're behind and they need that help. And we're able to do that with them. Adams County did something really good, which I feel strongly in support of, where we implemented a field receipt program where if we come to your house and we can make that educated decision that obviously you're struggling and you need assistance, we can help by giving you, rather than taking money from you at that time for a fee or a fine that, you know, if something you were committed of and found guilty of a minor summary offense, we understand that, you know, $50 may be a lot more to somebody than it is to you or I or the next. And that could mean the difference between paying rent, providing food, putting gas in their car, a lot of those things where we can look in the field and say, we're going to help you. We're going to cancel your warrant and give you the ability to go into the courts and take care of these problems and reset that payment plan. And the goal is not to put somebody in jail or to take all of somebody's money. Obviously, accountability is important.
Correct.
And we talked a little bit about that, where if you stop enforcing the small things, the much larger things become out of control. So we're sort of that beginning stage of enforcing the small things. And it's still important to hold somebody accountable. There's no reason why somebody should be able to commit an offense and then get away with it when you or I or somebody else may have to pay monetarily for an offense we committed, like speeding, for instance.
Right.
Why is it okay for one person to speed, not pay anything, and the next person, it's not? So, but we can recognize that times are tough and challenging, and we understand that and are here to help with that.
That's excellent.
Yeah,
I really like that, the human part versus just simply to jail you go. I mean,
we're
just getting you off the street. And you mentioned too early in our pre-interview, if you will, the building those relationships that you know people, so it's not just, again, solving a quick crime and you're off to the next one.
Correct. It's important. And the reason it's important is for a lot of things. Relationship building is important because it allows us to get a glimpse of what you're experiencing. There's been times that I've dealt, when a constable shows up, it can be traumatic. And by that, I don't mean, yeah, you know, when someone knocks at your door, law enforcement, hey, constables are here. It can be tough, and I've come across situations where I've walked into mental health crisis because of the appearance and knocking on the door, and you know it can be terrifying, and they think they're going to jail right away, and we're trying to really push home the point that we're there to work with you while we still have to hold people accountability. The only people that we truly put in jail anymore at this point is the people who have been given ample opportunities to be successful and have not used those keys to be successful. And unfortunately, at that point, we have to take you either before a judge or place you into Adams County, and you'll be seen by the judge typically in the morning and reset your payment plan and come up with a better plan. Because what you need to remember is, I always tell people this, I have two rules, first and foremost. My rule number one is, as long as you answer the door or answer the phone when I call, I'll work with you. But if you do the whole, like, turn the lights off and the music down and run out the back door. And we've had that. It doesn't make any sense to me, because I tell the people that I work with every time, and when I say I work with, I mean the individuals with the warrants, if you work with me, I'm going to work with you. It's the moment that you stop working with me is where you're going to force hand me to do my job.
Right.
And unfortunately, that makes it challenging, but that's part of holding people accountable.
Correct.
So.
That's excellent. So off the top of your mind, what's your favorite story or two stories or what would that really says, here's what I do, or about the people?
Yeah, so every day is different. I have so many stories, and I've been doing it for 4 or 5 years, so there's folks in Adams County who have been doing this much longer, probably with much better stories. But, we're human too. And sometimes when I'm serving warrants, you'll see us like shake our head and sort of laugh because we're like, what just happened? I had one in a trailer park out in Adams County that I had a signature warrant. And it goes back to that perception.
A signature warrant
was where you've committed an offense and the courts have sent you, either you've been informed by a police officer that you have 10 days to respond to the offense. If you don't, the courts then send you out a reminder. And if you fail to do that, then the constables come out. So they've already had two attempts.
Okay.
And then by the third attempt, they say, okay, constable, go out and do your job. And I had a signature warrant. And all I needed was a signature. And I was with my partner. And we knocked on a door. And a lot of times, and I never get mad at a spouse who's trying to protect their loved one. I get it. Like, my wife would do the same thing. She'd be like, nope, not home. Shut the door. You know, I understand it. But we've been doing this long enough to understand mannerisms and reading people at the door, and we sort of know when somebody's sort of lying, and every identifier sort of started going off in my mind. So I allowed my partner to continue talking. I stepped to the side and I sort of went to put myself towards the back door, and for a magnitude of reasons. One is, while people say, oh, you just serve summary level warrants, fine, but it doesn't mean that it's not in conjunction with a criminal warrant, or the person's not wanted from another state, or the person's not wanted from the same county. We don't know that going into it. We don't have access to things like JNet, which is what the computer system is that state police and local police can use. We have to do all of our own research, and we have to really beat the streets and find them. So we finally tracked down somebody we were looking for, and he's talking with her, and I stepped aside, and I hear like this psh out the back, and I'm like, oh, that sounded like a window. And I see this body come out the back window, and he starts running. And I'm like, what in the world? It's a signature warrant. Now, we didn't know. So I start, chasing after him. I'm radioing to my partner. He's running, and we're chasing him. He runs into the woods and over a creek, and I see him jump this fence, and he goes down in this pond, and I'm like,
into the pond.
Yeah, into this pond. And I look at it. Now, luckily, smart enough, I don't like jumping fences, and, I'm not a big guy, so I don't like to fight. So I'm like, I'm going to watch what he does. He jumps down, he goes in this retention pond. And I hear him, if you're going to get me, you're coming in this pond. I look at him, like, I don't think that's a pond, but I'll give you that. And I look, and on the side it said, do not enter on this gate. It was a sewage runoff retention pond. And he's standing in the sewage runoff retention pond. And my partner comes running. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm not going in there. And so finally we're like, hey, man, we just need a signature. When you're ready to come out, we'll take you. We'll get the signature. And I think he assumed like we were kidding. And then as time went, we're like, listen, we're not kidding. And we're not coming in there for a magnitude of reasons. And he finally comes out. And he's like coming out like expecting us to put handcuffs on him. And like, I don't need to put handcuffs on you. He's like, I just need a signature. And he, looked at me. He's like, what do you mean? And he was almost disappointed because he kicked out his window in front of his girlfriend, and he went on this wild goose chase. And we bring him back, and she's, looking at him, and he's now covered
with sewage.
And they have a broken back window now. And he's like, well, I didn't know. I just need a signature. I'm like, look, we tried telling you. Now, granted, he also, perception, was just released from Adams County within the week and thought he was going back. So in his defense,
he was pretty sure.
He thought he was going back, but it was a good laugh. But on a side note, there's been a lot of times where, when we talk about giving back to people, so that was a ha-ha funny one. There is some that are not funny, and those consist of people who are truly struggling or into drug use. Drug use, call it what it is. I can tell you that in our line of work, we see it. We're in 25 houses a day.
Wow.
We see it. And it's challenging. I remember one situation where, again, my partner and I, we were tracking an individual, known drug user, and there was a young female involved. And I remember telling her that if she didn't get out of this lifestyle, she was going to be burying her boyfriend within 6 months. And she did. And it had to do with a fentanyl overdose. Luckily, in working with her, she became clean. Those are the success stories that we look at. There was another young woman, and I don't know why this is. A lot of people in these type of predicaments will talk to us before they talk to other law enforcement. Maybe it's because we're different, or maybe it's because we don't charge. You're not going to see a constable charge you for something. I don't know what that reason is, but they confide in us a little differently, and they'll tell us things. They'll give us information. They'll tell us more about their lifestyles, and we will follow up. I had a young lady today, actually, who texted me today, and out of the blue, I put her in jail 8 months prior, and she took off for myself and a police officer. She ran through the outskirts of Biglerville, and she ran down with her boyfriend and in through the woods and all this stuff, and we ended up capturing her with another constable, and we arrested her and put her in jail for 6-7 months. But it gave her time to detox, gave her time to get rid of those friends that were part of the enablers. And she sent me a text today and said, thank you. I really appreciate it. I don't think I'd be here if it wasn't for you. So while we don't have the airwaves to publish them, unless we do like we're doing now, that does happen to us. And we do have personal relationships with these people where we get it. We understand. We're here to help you. We are your local elected law enforcement. So it makes it quite unique.
I love it. That's great. Law enforcement with a heart.
Yeah.
And I should say, there's a lot. I mean, you got good people in all, from
you're
state police,
right,
local police, that are there. It's not just keeping the law.
You're right.
Or enforcing the law. It's also they're there to help.
They are. And that goes said across the board that our state troopers out here, we have a fantastic working relationship with them. I can trust any one of them. Commander Witalik does a fantastic job running those guys out there. Same thing with all of our local ones, to include where you're at. Eastern Adams is fantastic. Biglerville, Bendersville, Gettysburg, Littlestown. I mean, they're all great. McSherrystown. It's all about relationship building. We all have to work together in the law enforcement
right,
world, and
right.
We do. And we all know each other, and it's a great feeling in Adams County that I have, You know, even with the guys out in Cumberland, everybody, I can't think of one department that isn't to that same atmospheric mindset of we all need to work together to include the parks. The national parks are awesome. I was just out with those guys talking with them about what constables do. They had no idea what we were, what we did. And, you know, we sat down, had a conversation, like, well, it's quite amazing. So
now how would you, for the Park Service with forestry, what would be the crossover?
So their crossover was a lot of park, and just from my take from the conversation, a lot of park police officers, they come from all over. So one may be from out in Nevada, maybe one from Maine, one may be out in Wyoming, wherever they were, and then they get transferred to other locations. And they didn't quite understand how constables fit into that puzzle, that law enforcement puzzle, because we all have that piece and where we operate. And we, you know, when we talk about, they wanted to know how the warrant service worked. They had somebody with a warrant on the battlefield. I went out and served it, and they thought it was the greatest thing, like, holy cow. You know, but I met with them and explained to them, we do a lot of other things. If a department calls and says, hey, we have a 302, is there any way that you can come out and assist with transporting them? Sure, which is a mental health, you know, need help with mental health. 201s we do, which is voluntary mental health, and 302 is involuntary. We transport criminals for, you know, other townships that are shorthanded that night that says, hey, we have somebody with a criminal warrant, or we just arrested somebody. Can you or one of your guys come out and pick them up and take them to ACP? As long as the paperwork's done, sure, absolutely. We work with the sheriff's department to assist with some of the manpower with serving some of the criminal warrants. Or if we have first-hand knowledge of where someone may be with a criminal warrant, we go and assist.
Yeah.
But back to what you were saying about the state forestry side, we can enforce state forestry laws. Not a lot of constables do it because...
What would be...
So, theft of timber wood. Okay. You know, that's one that just comes to mind.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's cutting down, they don't have a permit, whatever. The laws have never changed. There's just been policy changes that sort of hinder our ability to do some things. It doesn't mean we can't do it. It just means it makes it a little bit more challenging. For instance, we do ordinances as well. So townships that don't have an ordinance officer, the constable for that township can actually assist with ordinances. And that's a big concern, another hot topic button, as you would say, because now you're talking about quality of life, and somebody's quality of life may be different than yours, and their quality of life may be affecting yours. For instance, you know, rubbish on property, burning tires in the middle of the day, you know, things like that.
Right.
You know, that falls under ordinances. Our authority goes with that ordinance to be able to enforce that. So those are things that we can do. You don't see it as much. You may see it, you know, in a couple years or something, but it's just not there yet. But the options are there for small towns.
Wow.
So,
okay. Cool.
Yeah.
A lot more than what a constable does and what you realize is, you say, just serving a warrant.
Sure.
Now, years ago, I belonged to the East Berlin Fitness Center.
Sure.
And Dan Grimm was a cop. His father was the town cop. Mm-hmm. I think he was a regional. And I said, Dan, what is the key if you get stopped for something, especially if it's speeding? I said, you know, we were asking him, what do you look for? What's most important? Without missing a beat, be honest with me. If you're lying,
yep,
I'm all over you.
Yep.
But if you be honest,
yep. And that's exactly, he hit the nail on the head with that, is honesty goes a long way. And when I say this, it's sort of funny. I'm okay if somebody calls me, yells at me on the phone, says, good luck finding me. You're never going to find me. I'm running. I'm fine with that. You know why? They were honest. They were honest. Now I know that I'm going to have to go and look for you. But don't be dishonest with me or any of my partners that I work with. It's important that if you're struggling and you need that help, be honest. We've all been there. I mean, there has been times in my life where I have had $0 in my bank account. We've all been there. We have all been there. I don't know how I'm going to get to work. I don't know how I'm going to pay my oil furnace. I don't know how, winter, I don't, you know. So we struggle. We all do. We've all been there. Nobody, I can say for a fact, that no Adams County constable or any law enforcement officer in Adams County, and I know it's a big statement to say, but nobody wants to see you fail. Nobody wants to see you fail. Not only that, but it makes more work for us if you fail. So be successful. And if you're having a problem, reach out to us or reach out to your local law enforcement and say, hey, I got a problem. This is what my problem is. we push a lot of things for mental health now with CIT. A lot of our officers are becoming crisis intervention training. We're really focusing and trying to branch out to training. Again, we have to pay for all of our own stuff. So we are free to the taxpayer, which is great when you look at...
Through warrants
and any individual contracts that we develop with townships or independently, we pay for our cars, our fuel, our firearms, our handcuffs, our training, everything. Every single thing. My uniform. Someone didn't give it to me. My township wasn't like, here you go. It's not how it works. We have to pay for everything out of our own pockets. So while you have departments that have very large budgets, our budget is as big as our bank account. So it makes it a little challenging. But that's great when you talk about the purity of our law enforcement. And I love our office because then we bring into the accountability and transparency. And we're held accountable differently than, for instance, like mayors would be held accountable for, you know, the police and so forth like that. There's always that elected official that would be held accountable for that law enforcement. The sheriff is held accountable for his, mayors for theirs, board of supervisors for theirs. We're held accountable as an elected official to the people that represent us. And if I violate somebody's rights, or I'm doing a poor job, or I'm not doing what my township residents would like me to do, they can vote me out of office. They can petition for me to resign. They can do an array of things. And that's the beautiful thing of the office when you talk about transparency and law enforcement.
Right, you are accountable, And you mentioned earlier about the protecting the constitutional rights, protecting our constitutional rights.
Sure, and right now that is a hot topic button, and it's important that people understand. In my opinion, and when you ask, I love when you ask a cop, hey, what's your job? And they say to enforce the law. Well, that's a duty of your job, but the job that I see and that like-minded people that I associate with is our job as law enforcement is to protect the constitutional rights of every U.S. citizen. It is, and as constitutional law enforcement, we understand that. And it's big, it's really, at our academy, it's really drilled in our heads that we're constitutional law enforcement, that the people put us in a position to represent them. So make sure when you're out dealing with the public, or make sure when you're out serving your warrant, or whatever you're doing, you're remembering that you are constitutionally elected. You are an elected official. You are there to treat that person regardless of the situation, regardless of what they called you or said to you on the phone or shut your hand in a door, you're there to do your job but protect their rights, not to take advantage of them, infringe on their rights. From what I see, we're all that way right now as far as the constables and even our local law enforcement.
Excellent. So. That's what we need. Excellent. All right. Well, we've gone... Full circle. And covered a lot of topics.
Sure.
Anything that we missed or you'd like to, any appeal that you would like to make to the...
No, I just support your local constable. We're out there making a difference. We're helping other agencies, you know, even behind the scenes. If you ever are interested in being a constable, reach out. We'll let you know if there's a vacancy. If you're interested in doing mentorships or, you know, potentially even some ride-alongs, we talked about that, to really see what that looks like. Reach out. We're always there, and it's a great profession to be in. And I wouldn't change my decision that I've made in endeavoring in this.
So. Excellent. So you're gonna run again and keep going.
I am. I have a great township, Tyrone Township. I couldn't ask for a better board. Couldn't ask for a better support structure. I have a deputy out there who I'm very fond of. He's a great mentor as well. So I'm blessed that the township and the populace of which I support also supports me.
Excellent. So. Well, we need good people in law enforcement, and we really appreciate you being here and telling us about what a constable does. The quiz will come later.
Yes, I think it will.
All right. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you very
appreciate
much.
Appreciate it very
me.
Much. And this is an episode of Open House. Thank you for watching.